Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
You know, the days of Noah are here, and that's not an understatement. That is really a fact. If you folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to Steve Quayle's Private Intelligence Briefings. I'm going to tell you right now, knocked it out of the park with the last one, and it hit really close to home, as this entire broadcast will. Back in the studio from D.C., I'm Doug Hagman. Welcome to the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, June 30, last day of June 2022. I want to just welcome you and thank you so much for your belief, your trust in us, and for hanging with me as I was gone for a couple of days. Necessary things to do. I'm not going to get into it, but there it is. As a matter of fact, I will get into it just briefly because this does segue into what we're seeing, and segues into the project that Steve Quayle superintended, managed, directed, and brought forth the information. And this is the, if you want the big picture of what's going on, this is for you. Okay, Egyptian and alien connection in America, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, the pre-sales are brisk, but get in on this as soon as you can. The reports, the interviews are coming out on July 30. The PDF itself is going to be just enough to choke a horse with images and such. So go to the Hagman, or go to HagmanReport.com or SteveQuayle.com, Gen 6, whatever. Go to Steve's page or my page and pre-register, sign up for this, the alien or the Egyptian and alien connections in the Americas. This is a mini conference fundraiser. It does a lot to keep us going, all of us going. So there's that, but the information is second to none. You will be absolutely stunned. And again, as I enter into today, and as I thought during my trip, the days of Noah couldn't be any clearer. That was Steve Quayle, his Q-Files 2.0 from yesterday, I believe it was. Days are running together as I travel, but I just want to touch base with you. You know, very briefly, I did a 20-minute, by the way, I did a 20-minute update on my time in D.C., and what I saw there was absolutely, I mean, you talk about a soul-sucking place, and you know what you're going to be hearing about today. I don't know, Eric, if you can, if you don't mind, put up the picture from the video that it should be the featured image for the video from today, or just the there it is right there. There's my update. And I titled it The Hagman Report, and in the spirit of Steve Quayle, The Bottom Line, back from D.C., special report today. It's 20 minutes long, but here's the takeaway from this that, again, segues into that. And isn't it interesting where I was in this particular building at that moment? I was looking at the Washington Monument, this in total 666-inch obelisk, a dedication to Osiris, or a commemoration to Osiris, and you know that what that represents. So I'm not going to get into that, but how that segues into today. Just to kind of clarify some things, because that 20-minute segment has got some very important information in there, but the left, the global satanic elite, the very people that Steve's going to be talking about, they are, to quote or paraphrase, not quote, but to paraphrase Thomas Paine, before and during the Revolutionary War, the left and the satanic elite are inviting you to barbarous destruction. And men must either be rogues or fools that will not see it. I dwell not upon the vapors of imagination. I bring reason to your ears, and in language as plain as ABC, hold up truth to your eyes. So if you don't see it, it ain't on us. Okay, the heart that feels not now is dead. The blood of his children will curse his cowardice, who shrinks back at a time when little might have saved the whole and made them happy, speaking of the children of the next generation. Again, too, in this, I love the man who can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. 'Tis the business of little minds to shrink. Oh, how we've seen that today. But he whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principle unto death. How true is that? Not all the treasures of the world, so far as I believe, could have induced me to support an offensive war. As I stood in my final moments in D.C. at Arlington National Cemetery, looking out over the gravesites, I pondered this, for I think it murder. But if a thief breaks into my house, burns and destroys my property, and kills or threatens to kill me or those who are in it, and to bind me in all cases to his absolute will, am I to suffer it? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. There are cases that cannot be overdone by language or overstated, and this is one. There are persons, too, who see not the full extent of the evil that threatens them. They comfort themselves with hopes that the enemy, if he succeed, will be merciful. What a fool's errand that is. It is the madness of folly to expect mercy from those who have refused to do justice. And even mercy, where conquest is the object, is only a trick of war, by the way. The cunning of the fox is as murderous as the violence of the wolf, and we ought to guard equally against both. And so as you watch and listen to the show today, please keep that in mind. Also go to HagmanReport.com, take a look at that update, as well as go to SteveQuayle.com, Gen6.com, sign up for the Q-Files 2.0. It's really imperative, but equally important, and even perhaps, well, equally important is do pre-register for the Egyptian and Alien Connection in America, folks. Please click on that button and get ready, because your minds are going to be blown. Think about that obelisk. Think about the Washington Monument as I looked out from that specific room over the Pentagon City. Yes, Pentagon City and the obelisk. And think about what you're about to see. And speaking about what you're about to see, is something that Steve will explain, the Space Command logo, and I'm going to let him explain that. But I do want to just welcome my brother and great friend, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, and, of course, the man behind the Egyptian and Alien Connection in America. Here's Steve. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug, and thank you, because it's interesting that you would bring up, obviously, the Washington Monument. The thing that's critical for people to understand is the Orwellian quote that says it all in so few words, and it says, who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. And ladies and gentlemen, what you're going to hear today and you're going to see today are some of the most amazing timed releases, not an Anacin or an Excedrin, but a timed release. This is the time of the living God's unveiling of the literal evil that has overtaken the world. You're seeing it in the starvation. You're seeing the four horsemen of the apocalypse, at least the results of it. But it's really important, Doug, that this, how should I say, fascination with Egypt has even shown up in the Space Command logo. And I want to make a statement right now. You'll hear this first. You are going to see more pyramid stories, more pyramid revelations, where in the past it has been controlled to release that information, to control a false narrative of history. Little by little, it's going to come out. Even China's building a new pyramid. And most people don't know this, but the pyramids of Giza in Egypt are not the biggest pyramids in the world. The biggest pyramid in the world is in China. And I don't know, Eric, if you can call it up right now, but this is why the Egyptian alien connection is so important. I'll make it real simple for everybody. Yep, let's go here first. The Egyptian connection, the first Egyptian, the civilization of Egypt was all over the world, as were pyramids. But it were the aliens, the literally fallen angels, that basically built the pyramids. All the power structures were built in a time period prior to the creation of Adam and Eve. So now up on the screen, and leave it up for a minute, Eric, you'll see on the left, you'll see the new, if you will, Delta Spear Point. But at the end of the day, it's a pyramid. You'll see the star that represents Lucifer, and you're going to see the pharaoh. And if you notice the pharaoh's beard, and you notice, obviously, it's a hemisphere, it's talking about that which is coming down from heaven. Now, I can back up what I'm saying, but of all the symbolism, of all the imagery, why is this now? I'll tell you why. Because the fallen ones are going to come on the scene. They are going to be presented as the gods who created us. When Doug was in Washington, D.C., and everything related to the governments of the world, the whole world lies in the evil one. Jesus stated that. The whole world is giving their power unto the beast, who's ready to be brought on the scene as the Antichrist. And it will be after this nuclear war that's going to be over in a flash, pun intended, but maybe in less than a month. But the actual war will be won within the first hour of the rockets launched. The identity of our space command with Egypt should be, well, why are they doing that? What, I mean, when you first saw this, Doug, you go, what is with this? Is this from Egypt's space command? And by the way, Egypt got its name, it's the Egyptian name, from Homer in the Iliad in the 8th century BC. But Egypt was known as many names. Cairo meant city of Mars or Mars encampment. The very first pharaohs were literally fallen angels, the gods. And the gods, little g's, absolutely were making war with God in heaven. And the book of Enoch is written about that. And, you know, it basically, this is just fragments of the book of Enoch found in the Dead Sea Scrolls and also the book of Giants. But the thing that has caused this great deception to be able to be orchestrated, believe it or not, is the control of ancient history. In any war, the number one tactic practiced is deception. Sun Tzu, S-U-N-T-Z-U, or maybe T-Z-S-U. But the point is that the obelisks across the world do not owe their origin to humanity. They owe them to the fallen angels. That makes a lot of Catholics mad, because obviously one's in St. Peter's Square, or the Vatican Square. But what's really astonishing, ladies and gentlemen, on our expeditions, plural now, ongoing for 3 years in a 500-mile radius of Mexico City, some of the biggest pyramids, some of the most bloodthirsty altars to hell itself, the greatest amount of human beings slaughtered in one day take place in that region. So the latest expedition we did, and this is for all of you, I promise you it was mind-blowing to me. Now, that's not a metaphor. It's not exaggeration. It's not trying to, oh, they're just trying to build it up. The origin of evil is so plain to see on some of these artifacts, and as well as DNA being manipulated by the fallen ones. Again, Doug, it's critical that people understand something, that you can tell and date objects beyond carbon-14 and thermoluminescence. You can do it through stars. In other words, star charts will tell you, what was the sky like 4,000, 6,000 BC? What was the level? Where was this stuff found? How was this stuff found, you know, in the first place? Well, all those questions are pretty much, how should I say, represented in just the trailer that you can go and watch. But ladies and gentlemen, what's critical is that once we've established and we have established the authenticity, the whole, if you will, timetable is now being speeded up, because the devil only wanted to release this stuff. And yes, I believe in a literal devil. Yes, I believe Lucifer is the anointed cherub that was in the garden before he brought rebellion of one third of the angels against God himself, cast out to earth. But I want you now, Eric, if you would show the obelisk that was unearthed, that preliminary dating shows that it's 6,000 years ago. And go ahead and let this play, Doug. And if you want to comment, this is about a minute and some. This was found by our people, meaning those. Now, stop right there. Stop right there. Notice what you're seeing, and I would defy anyone to see any human being at this time. This is why we're really zeroing in on the age of this thing. It's minimum 6,000. The question is it pre-Adamic? So you see the two aliens on the left and on the right. Above them is the DNA, and above that is one of the oldest Egyptian symbols. And as you go up to the very top of the obelisk, you're going to see absolute apparent iconography that is just, in pun intended, now it's in your face, but it's in our face. And go ahead and let it play, Eric. Thank you. As you look at the different faces, you see these Egyptian hybrid, quote unquote, I call them demigods, or never are gods, but this is what the people believe. And I, Doug, just for information, it's interesting to me that people will hear an eyewitness testimony that was in the Smithsonian, this is part of what you're signing up for, that literally saw the heads of these type creatures in vats of formaldehyde. Is that a true statement based on what you heard from our eyewitness to the Smithsonian who is showing all this stuff?
Yeah, that and more. So yes.
So ladies and gentlemen, why is, you know, I mean, you know, let's just say this, you want to listen to the critics criticize, fine, but let them go out and spend 3 years of their lives and $1 million and hiring people to go into the heart of narco-terrorism. Stop right there, Eric. Then you come down. And what you're seeing, Doug, is a juxtaposition. Note the alien on the left. Note the Egyptian god. And ladies and gentlemen, no place in the iconography do these guys take off a costume head. In other words, these are entities hybridized, and the DNA is telling that. Now, I have a team of people around the world. God brought them together. These are men and women who love Jesus Christ. They're out of country for their lives' sake. And oh, by the way, people don't get killed in America if they don't hold the right political solution or point of view. So what you're seeing is you're seeing something interesting. You're seeing it looks like actually some form of a temple and a doorway. Let it go down again. But you're looking at the sun god right above those two. And then let's let it play, Eric, and we'll go to the other face. I think there's one more time it'll turn. We don't have control of this, ladies and gentlemen, the ones that took the video. Now, you're looking at hieroglyphics on the bottom. And as they scroll up, these are Egyptian hieroglyphics. Again, no place on this obelisk is there any normal human being. What you're seeing right there, dead center, is the scarab beetle. This would be no big deal if it were in the Cairo Museum or the British Museum, but in Mexico. And Doug, thank you so much, Eric. One of the things that's really astonishing is that all of these artifacts that and relics, call them artifacts, that are dug up in real time. I want to make this clear to everyone. You cannot fake GPR in real time. Ground penetrating radar. It will show you any distortion, any indentation, any interference, because every section, it's bouncing its radio waves into the ground. Every section is giving a true representation of the strata or the layers of the ground. That obelisk is the same iconography that we found at the 8-foot level digging, and for the record, ladies and gentlemen, again, it's important that people understand this. Jesse G, the man who oversaw this, and the price he pays to go there is unimaginable. He is a hero in my eyes, and certainly God has raised him up. The danger zone isn't just a song in the Tom Cruise movie. The danger zone, you can't have any more danger that's down there. Now, some people ask me, Doug, here's a great question. Why do the different narco-terrorist gangs leave you guys alone? Number one, God. But number two, we've just increased the value of all the artifacts in their collection. Does that make sense, Doug? By giving irrefutable, unimpeachable results of to the value, the time period, and everything. What one of these at a Blisk? That's $1 million piece, if that, not more. But
just to be clear, where was that obelisk found, Steve? It was found
in the Tula, T-U-L-A region, underground. And Tula's where all of our artifacts, where our digging went on, okay?
Okay, all right.
All on private land, okay? I want to make that clear. All on private land. People say, well, how do you know how to dig in the first place? Simple. The people who have been there and the indigenous people, a lot of these things, not the ones we find, but a lot of these things are dug up when there's, for instance, a torrential rainstorm that doesn't happen that often, but or they're plowing or they're digging or they're drilling a well. What's happening, Doug, is they get a hold of Jesse because, in essence, we've established, I think, this, a doctrine of fairness to treat the owners of these not only with the dignity and respect they demand, but we're trying to get them top dollar because people come in here in these areas and some famous ones, I could name them, coast to coast people, and try and not the people on coast to coast, but guests who have appeared on coast to coast and try and get them for a song or dance and sell them to a local billionaire for a lot of money. So the point, that's a literal case. It's not a make-believe case. So the way we know is we zero in on a very simple principle in archaeology and in the hidden archaeology or the out-of-place artifacts, which are called uparts. It's not what you see above the surface of the earth. I mean, Tula is a big, an amazing thing. Some of the photography we've got of that is just drop dead gorgeous because of the drone work. But the point is that it's what's underneath. It's like everybody sees the Sphinx in Giza, the three pyramids in on the Giza plain, the camels and the tourists riding them, but they don't know what's underneath. And what's underneath is a citadel of giants. And I'm talking really big giants. So we're going to get into the Smithsonian cover-up and how they play into this. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the amount of artifacts that have been known to be deposited in the Smithsonian that never see the light of day. Oh, they see the scientists who are allowed in there, and we have an eyewitness testimony. And interesting, we now have a couple other people, Doug, coming forward that now that it's out in the open, they feel like they're ready to talk. And I want to share something with you. We're at nuclear war, and somebody said, well, why is that? Why is he going there? Do you know that the Smithsonian even has a plan how to get those artifacts out of the warehouses that are out of D.C. In an emergency? They have, just like the Louvre in Paris and some of the most famous museums in the world, they have a way of getting their stuff out. I don't know it, but I will tell you this. There are enough underground tunnels to do it ahead of time, at the appropriate time, and when they say the time is coming. Does that blow your mind? That blew my mind. That was like a 6 day ago revelation.
And to preserve the integrity of those artifacts, for what purpose, though? We're not talking about showing the next generation that survives. We're talking about a use that goes beyond that, correct?
Yes, and here, excuse me, I'm sorry for clearing my throat. Let me take a sip of water.
It's all right. Me too. I've been doing that all day.
Praise God for clean water because it's disappearing before the eyes of the world and people still don't get it. But that's another story.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why every time I take a glass of water, every time I go to the fridge, I'm serious. I'm thanking God for it because I know the days are now upon us. You imagine 50 million people, 40 million people not even be able to go to their faucet and get a glass of water. I'm just showing this is water, not gin, not whiskey, not tequila. It's water.
Well, you're not Pelosi, so
yeah. Hydrogen and the perfect combination of oxygen.
Yeah.
So why this is important, Doug, the artifacts to those who want to steal them, because they're going to release them in a specific order at a specific time. They're going to claim they are the gods that created us. They're going to go to that one obelisk, or not that one, because that's in somebody's possession. By the way, none of this stuff is in the United States. I just want to tell everybody that. There's a Native American Protective Grave Act that basically, it's NAPGRA, I think, that says anything in the United States is Native American and therefore belongs to the indigenous people. Well, I'll just give you two words, Kennewick Man, not true. There's a famous case in Ohio where the FBI raided a collector. And it was interesting, as I looked at the pictures the FBI released, yeah, there's a Roman gladius, which is a sword. There's all types of Bronze Age artifacts, shields. I mean, this gentleman had a lot of stuff. But the images didn't fit the narration of that act that says everything found in America, you know, is automatically a Native American, either relic or, bone skeleton. But what's more critical than that, if you look at the history of Smithsonian, I put this out in a DVD, Forbidden History. If you look at the entire amount of artifacts, Egyptian artifacts, found in the Grand Canyon, found by the Kincaid expedition, and the Smithsonian continually covers up and lies and said that the Kincaid expedition was false. It was put in the Phoenix Gazette. Well, let me just tell you this. I went back and found the owners of it, and I found out Kincaid's expedition had other people. After the fourth time of repeating that, Kincaid and those men disappeared. And that was before, you know, the Clintons showed up. So the bottom line is that we're talking about a body count that was so astonishing that the only thing the Smithsonian can the only thing that the Smithsonian does is deny what I would call the reality-based world. Now, they are the gatekeepers, Doug. They're the ones that control what geology reports, and they have one of anything. Our mutual guest, mutual friend now, who people will see, actually they'll hear him in real time with us interfacing with him, was showing the Egyptian artifacts taken out of the Grand Canyon. He was showing giants, mummies, and sarcophagus taken out of the Grand Canyon. One of the most amazing things, Doug, was when he said when they're done with them, they go back and bury them in the Grand Canyon. Remember, these aren't Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And if you understand the history of John Wesley Powell, he was one of the biggest racists in the world. I'm talking a real racist. He absolutely held the Native Americans in the United States in contempt. And they were worlds smarter than him. One of the things that I've enjoyed doing is interfacing with a lot of Native American elders. And look, I don't buy, and they don't go along with biblical Christianity. And I don't go along with them worshiping ancestors and worshiping the giants that ate all of their relatives, 150 years ago. But we can talk. And when we talk, and that's in our DVD, The Holocaust of Giants, everything gets back to the Smithsonian. And some of the newest revelations coming out of the Smithsonian is they have skulls of 36-foot tall giants. So people say, well, I'll see it. Why can't you get the pictures? It's one of the most secured information storage facilities in the world. That databases have 5 levels of encryption. That isn't a creative license. That's real. The control is by Lucifer and his legions. Now, they may have earthly people that don't know anything. I'm talking about it. But what's happening, Doug, and all of our viewers, is that they want to trickle out things at their own time frame. Now, what are we seeing off the coast of Baja California right now?
Oh, this
Eric,
is good.
Go ahead and put that up. I mean, we're seeing, and these were taken from Jesse. There are other people taking them too. This is off the Baja California, in the area of the Coronado Islands. We caused a firestorm, and we did. Doug was on your show. so what's new? When we said that the Coronado Islands, beneath the Coronado Islands, is a joint U.S. alien base called Cornerstone. Well, that rang a bell because most of the encounters with the UAPs, the unidentified aerial phenomenon of the F-18s and the carrier jets, were in this area within a 100-mile, radius of this area. Go ahead and put up the next shot, too, if you wouldn't mind, Eric.
Yeah, and I just want to tell people, I didn't really buy this. Years and years ago, I didn't buy this, but the evidence-based material that Steve is showing you, I buy it now. I'm telling you right now that the pedigree behind this is unimpeachable. And I want to thank Steve and the people behind him who really put their lives on the line to get this out. And yes, people are a little bit peeved at this platform, and especially Steve. You know, they don't send them Christmas cards anymore because of this. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, again, this was taken by Jesse, and I don't want to say that. The current project involves this stuff. How's that for a hint, Doug? And the thing is that it's interesting that there's a discussion going on that can only be understood in the Glyptionary. Tomorrow's private briefing, maybe even Saturday, it's going to be amazing. When people find out the quality, and all you guys who are engineers and computer scientists and stuff, that's what I'm not, are going to find out what went into the Glyptionary, you're going to be blown away. Now you have another shot of this. And if you look at it realistically, you could say, well, that's all, you know, different identifiable, this, that's not an airliner. But these things split up and go their own way. So they have the ability to cluster. They have the ability to join. They have the ability to make different patterns. But isn't it interesting, Doug? This is, they said San Diego, but the original first tracking of them came off the Coronado Islands. Is that making sense? So, you know, anybody can look at the border between San Diego and Tijuana, and you'll see we're not talking, you know, across country. We're talking 100 miles, maybe max. And at an F-18 flying at full afterburner, they cover that area pretty quickly. So why is the Smithsonian the gatekeeper? Why is every single artifact in hundreds of pages, that's not true, thousands of newspaper pages, when they talk about giant skeletons, giant axes, giant swords, giant this, giant that, giant helmets, giant skeletons, why is it, it says, and it was turned over to the Smithsonian? Well, it's simply, and it's never heard from again, and even to this day, they won't acknowledge it. That's why I issued the challenge. I'll issue it on your show, too, with Greg Hunter. I will respectfully debate anyone who will come forward from the Smithsonian. You won't take the offer because you know that you get in hot water, and discuss this openly. 2-minute segments, 3-minute segments, whatever we agree on. You speak, I speak, I speak, you speak. That's not out of arrogance, but the challenge is there because people will not stand up and demand the truth. And coming back from D.C. in your meeting, Doug, you know that the truth is no longer in this nation. There is no truth. When they kicked out Jesus, they hate God, they hate Christians. They're accelerating the rhetoric. You know why? Because we stand for the person that all truth is based on. And when they say there are no absolutes, they certainly believe in absolutes because all the Luciferians give their lives, their children's lives, many times as sacrifices, and the blood of so many people slaughtered to appease the bloodthirsty appetite of the Luciferian fallen angels and then their human minions. Now, why is it such an important situation to bring up the sacrifice? Because in Mesoamerica, in the area around Tula, what we have found, and by the way, by their, I think, statements, less than 25% of what you see above ground, 75% still lies beneath the ground. In essence, they've only found 25%, and the original temple area is the Toltec, prior to that is Olmec, but before all that, you have the Egyptians. So when you're dealing with the building of these things, and you're talking about 36-foot tall giants, 18-foot tall giants, you're talking about electrogravitic harmonic levitation. This is New Age baloney. This is harmonic levitation. Electricity can overcome gravity. That's how all this stuff flying in the skies that can reverse direction, that can go from 100,000 feet to beneath the sea instantly. I mean, you look, it's there, it's gone. That's because they have the ability to overcome gravity. And gravity you know, is one thing to overcome. But the depravity in the United States, in my estimation, will not be overcome. It will wax worse and worse until the United States ceases. You know, I get a kick out of this. There's nobody who will take on the Genesis 6-4 narrative on a major religious program. God bless, though Jim Baker let me talk about it. But outside of that, you're not going to hear anybody else talking about it unless it becomes profitable. Then when everybody's writing books on it, then, you know, they'll bring on people that will talk about it. But not until it's released, because they don't want, Doug, the mega churches don't want anything that's controversial to interfere with their cash flow. Does that make sense?
It does. And before you get too far away from the sacrifice, what astounded me was the interconnectivity. And you're going to see this, by the way, folks, I think to some extent, on the Egyptian Alien Connection in America, the mini conference / fundraiser. I'm going to tell you. But the thing that amazes me is you were just talking about the human sacrifice, and especially the child, innocent sacrifice, the shedding of blood, and how, in my experience, and this did not connect until very recently, until you started bringing forth that information. But, you know, people out there are walking around saying, oh, you know, look, people dabble in witchcraft and sorcery and all this stuff. And, you know, they talk about the various, like, Church of Satan and all this. But you've got this, these concentric circles, I think. Concentric, is that? Anyway, the circles that kind of tighten and tighten and tighten until you get to the inner sanctum of what you're talking about and what you found, where that blood of the innocent, the child sacrifice, is the currency in the lifeblood, and no pun or nothing intended there, of the elite. And that's why when you fast forward, you know, thousands of years to today, you can see why Planned Parenthood and other people in positions of power are fighting to keep this going overtly. It's more convenient that way. Covertly, yeah, we got some issues. So that's why there's a fight there. So all of this connects. All I'm just trying to say is everything connects, and it all goes back to, really, it all goes back to Steve's finds, Gen 6 finds. Look, there are so many other people out there that have been doing this. Never made sense to me. Never connected the dots. And I can name the names. I'm not going to. But he does. Steve, that man there does, and his finds do, and we should be paying attention to that. So, Steve, thanks for letting me talk. I didn't mean to kind of like cut in there, but
no. It makes sense. I think it's good. Number one, you know, you bring up issues that have to be dealt with, and here's the issue, ladies and gentlemen. Tying it all together prevents the evil from going unchecked. But it also presents the truth, because if you knew how many of the mega churches were on the payroll of the evil ones, it would give you a whole different reality-based way of looking at the world. A certain person who I'm a friend with, and you know the person too, stated they were on a Zoom call, and, you know, people just want to take everything apart, and especially in relationship to me. This doesn't give me any sense of anything, but here's the thing. People are going to be confronted with it, Doug, and they're going to have to deal with it one way or another. And right now, I believe that we are experiencing the apocalyptic, which means the revealing. It means that which has been hidden. That's what the word occult means. All of this stuff's coming out. And you know what it does? It makes me actually thank the living God that he loves us. But why? And I've asked the Lord this. I said, Lord, why are your people the ones that reject the truth? Because they have the word of God. Why do they not study to show themselves approved unto God? And I'm not just taking Genesis 6:4 out of context, but let's start with Genesis 3:15. God said, his redeemed are going to be at war with the devil. The devil knows that, so the devil's taking the initiative, and that's why Christian persecution is arising. Look, if Jesus said he's given us all power and authority and that we'll do greater works than he, And we don't see hardly any works that he did. We see them intermittently, and there are wonderful reports of miracles. But as a general rule, this generation has abandoned its children. And I think, Doug, you said something I want to talk to you about and bring it out. Ladies and gentlemen, our children have no future if their parents stay silent. The reason human sacrifice is necessary goes to a Levitical principle. The life is in the blood. Excuse me, innocent blood is so critical to the kingdom of darkness. That's why the Satanists are saying, you can't make abortion illegal. It's part of our ritual. You saw that. That's a real argument being made right now.
Yep.
And so the thing, the multiplicity of evil, building upon evil. Look, if everyone wants to take their clothes off, and I guess they're doing this now too, and you know the bare bottom bicycle brigade crew, you know, or and I want people to understand, does it even relate when guys like, and I'm just one of many, are writing about transhumanism, genetic Armageddon 25 years ago, and now that you're seeing the genetic manipulation of viruses that are producing unearthly gobs of goo, and those gobs of goo are self-assembling nanobots, and the blood clot crew, and people dying, dropping dead, sudden death syndrome. No, you know what it is? It's Satan's destructive syringe, SDS. And it's so astonishing to me. The days used to be, if you had three deaths because of a vaccine, they kicked the vaccine out. But everything, and I want to call it OVs now, okay? Oscar Victor's obscene vaccine. How can anybody see the human race continuing on when children now are being vaccinated? How many people, Doug, have to drop dead? Just whop, they're dead. How many people in their prime athletic, you know, these are the genotypes of excellence, dropping dead, splat. How many people? Yet the non-science behind the bull manure is so apparent. But you know what? Well, Brother Quayle, I just got to deal with what God has put before me. Yeah, God has put before you to take care of his sheep. That's literally a statement I got. And if you don't take care of your sheep and feed them and tell them the truth, somebody's going to come in and slaughter or steal your sheep. They'll steal them. If they can't steal them, they'll slaughter them. So, Doug, when God himself says his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, not because he doesn't give it to them, but because they reject it. And so, you know, I get so tired, and I do get tired, of fighting, well, that stuff about the days of Noah, it doesn't have anything to do with giants. It doesn't have any, it just meant they were all evil people. Excuse me, you don't know what the wording is, you don't know what the language is, you don't know what the context is, but what you do know is you know what denial is. And I'm going to say this, denial is the fast track to an early grave right now. And just like people that denied, oh, the vaccine, I've got to take the vaccine because I got to take it. Why? Because they tell me I got to take it. But did you think it through? No. They tell me. Who's the they? The they are those who want to kill the human race. And don't kid yourself when you've got the Georgia death stones stating that they want to maintain a world population of 500 million. Well, how do you kill off 7.4 billion or 7 billion, let's say? You know, easy. You do it with genetic engineering. You're killing the next future generation. Oh, Rachel weeping for her children. And it doesn't matter, Herod giving the order to go out and kill the male children. We're killing. We're watching. We're sitting by. We're standing by. We're not speaking out. We're not standing up. Watching the heritage of the Lord. The Bible says children are the heritage of the Lord. And Doug, the reason I will not veer by the grace of God from the word of God is because it's the only foundation for truth. In the kingdom of lies, Jesus said the whole world lies in the evil one. That doesn't mean they grab a sleeping bag and lay down in Lucifer's presence. It means they lie. And being in Washington, D.C., here's a good question for you. When you listen to all of the spew coming out of politicians and stuff, is it fair to say that lies would fit quite appropriately in the description of those vociferous devils?
Truth is an exception, a rare exception. Lies come like, or lies exist. They live in lies, yep. And they purveyors of lies. And that goes from everything from, it involves everything. And you know what else as well, all right? Because I've spoke to so many people, and the zombification of people, especially inside the Beltway, but even as you go out from the Beltway, is so severe, Steve. I just, you look at these people and you wonder what happened. What happened to their cognitive reasoning abilities? Why are they, like you said, I just have to go get the injection. Why? Because they tell me why. I don't know. But people have lost a lot of the ability to think for themselves. But lies exist, and the lies are the currency as well of the media, yes. and the people in there. So go ahead.
Well, Jesus makes it very clear that Lucifer was a liar from the beginning and no truth is in him. And this is what people have got to understand. You cannot watch Faux News, F-A-U-X, Fox. You cannot watch NBC, CBC, CBC, the Center for Benevolent CBC, NBC, all of the three letters, I guess I got stuck on CBC, complete blood count. The thing is that maybe that's an accurate statement. You cannot rely on the mouthpiece of the devil to even come close to any truth. And so the entire narrative is a stolen narrative. The entire narrative is a built narrative. What I'm specifically talking about right now is the narrative that in order for humanity to survive, we must make them something other than God created them to be. In order for humanity to survive, we must become, in essence, cyborgs. We must become neural-linked to the brain trust of the Borg. And that's why I came up with the word Borgicated. Borgicated means you're fornicated in your brain by the Borg. That means you become part of the collective essence. You have no individual identity. You are only basically a neuron in the medulla oblongata that's going to control the whole world, the global hive. That's a better word, the global hive. And anybody who resists that's an enemy of the powers of darkness. You cannot surrender to the devil as a Christian. Now, you can if you're not a Christian. And then the people that have surrendered to the devil, those are the ones that are behind the persecution of Christians. Hey, by the way, Doug, when was the last time you heard anybody who's a Christian, outspoken Christian, calling for revolution? A lot of us have told that there's going to be a revolution, but who are the ones wanting to kill those Christians? It's a left. And is it a fair statement that as an investigator, are you not seeing the rhetoric being kicked into high gear?
No, and there it is right there. Because what I saw over the last couple of days was inside that cauldron of evil, in my view, it's the media is pushing lies in order to take down... Well, to remove any kind of peace. That's why I said war is coming to our doorstep, because they want to declare war on the conservative Christians. Maybe I should flip that. But they hate Christianity. They hate patriotism. They hate humans. And I mean that. They hate humanity so much. And it's so obvious, yet so few people can see.
Well, here's the deal. They keep lowering the bar of what life is. I categorically reject every argument that sanctifies murder of the innocent. And, this is a continual prayer before the living God from my heart. Lord, you said, suffer the little children to come unto you. Yet the Millstone Ministries, let me tell you what the Millstone Ministries are. That's not mainstream media. That's MSM. And I should probably put it UWMSN, underwater or soon to be underwater mainstream ministries. Because again, Jesus said it'd be better for you to have never been born than to cause these little ones to stumble. That's a pretty powerful word. Or to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast in the deepest sea. That sounds like a tour of the bottomless pit to me. But the point is that, Doug, when we didn't fight for human life, when we didn't stick up for the innocent life, I'm talking contemporary Christians in America. And now look at the United States. We're a laughingstock. Women rule over men, and that's what the Bible said. Strangers from without will come in. They will be brought up very high, and you will be brought down very low. America's already divvied up and divided up to the different nations that will soon be invading us. Oh, you're just so negative. Just read your headlines. You know, even today, and this is really important, even today, the amount of warfare, see, when Russia went into the, you know, Ukraine, and by the way, they really are Nazis. There are really Nazis there. And I maintain the Nazis won World War II. I maintain the secret brotherhood is an occult brotherhood behind the scenes, and they do rule the world now. If you've never read my book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II, there are valid arguments. There's enough evidence to say, gee, I didn't know that. And when you don't know that, it's what you, gee, I didn't know that, is what kills people. Yet we don't do a thing, and we don't, as a people, look what happened. Look, you know, whether you believe the election was stolen or not, and Joe Biden was saying they have the best team to do it, you know, if everything that you knew in your country, freedom, liberty, justice, everything is being taken away. God shedding his grace on thee. Our water's going. Our food is going. War is declared on the American people because the American people, under the Democrats and those spineless republic whores, I don't call them Republicans anymore, I call them republic whores, have declared war on God. We don't need God on our platform. There'll be no talk of God on the Democratic platform. Fine, make war on him. You want to bet who wins? But God is how do I say this, allowing everybody the free expression of their free will to decide their own outcome. And Doug, I'm telling you what, people are choosing death by the millions. People are choosing Jesus on a global level, probably by the thousands. In other words, it's probably 1,000 times less people who are accepting Jesus and 1,000 times more of people who are yielding to the devil. Let's just take, again, the Egyptian issue. You're dealing, ladies and gentlemen, with the Book of the Dead. If you don't know what the Egyptian Book of the Dead is, you can look it up. But as Christians, we have the Lamb's Book of Life. So God says, choose life. I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. And what's interesting, Doug, is the critics of you and I can't produce evidence, but they can only produce their hatred and their spew. And then the Christians go along with the hatred and spew and won't stand up for Jesus. It's not about Doug Hagman. It's not about me. It's not about those of you who stand for the Lord. It's that, will anybody, when God asks a question, hey, this is God asking a question, not SQ or Doug Hagman, who will stand for me against the workers of iniquity? Well, everybody, if the Lord asks that question, 50,000 people in a stadium, Doug, they probably all go like this. They'd all start sinking beneath the desk or, you know, crawling away, and because everybody wants to go along to get along. That doesn't apply to those who don't want to go on the, what is it, fast track to hell. And see, this is what's important. If the Egyptians were so concerned with life after death and that they would give rules and regulations for what you do when you go into the world of the netherworld, when you're dealing with the oldest poetic narrative in the world, the Epic of Gilgamesh, and Gilgamesh was two-thirds fallen angel, one-third human. I'm still working on that one. And that people have extracted the DNA from Gilgamesh, whose tomb was literal and whose special operations got the DNA. And this is what I've been telling people for a long time. It's all about DNA genetics, extracting it from mummified giants. It's all about bone memory. MIT came up with a way, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, that in essence, the bones, if there's viable anything that they can track. In essence, imagine finding the bones of Attila the Hun and then being able through a process to sit and watch the world through his eyes. Well, that's what kind of technology they're talking about. So the oldest lie in the world becomes the technological promise of the future. Ye shall be as gods, knowing both good and evil. Ye shall, the devil talking, shall not surely die. I've quoted so many different transhumanists, but isn't it interesting? Transhumanism, transgenderism, great reset, great tribulation. People can argue about, well, I don't believe the seals are open. I don't believe this. I don't believe that. But at the end of the day, Doug, they have to deal with empty grocery shelves. At the end of the day, they have to deal with, what, $6 gasoline, whatever the national average is. And, oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the people that I know in the oil industry and the futures guys that are trading them, they're betting on $200 barrel oil, diesel fuel, and all the diesel fuel additives. Kudos to Mike Adams. Man, he nailed that whole issue. Mike is my friend, but I read a lot of stuff, and I got to tell you, he nailed that issue. He put it all together. In essence, Doug, people are saying, what does it mean? What does it mean? It means the cupboard is bare, there's no one there, and war is coming to your front door. I don't know how to say it any easier than that.
War coming to our front door. Now, you're talking about the enemy without, you know, outside. I know war, there's a couple of motivations here for war, and the neocons and the left are, but mind-blowingly pushing for war. But that's the natural result, right? Or is this the natural result of an intentionally designed to fail economic structure, along with the starvation of people, the intentional starvation of people, and everything else that I could fill into that bucket of muck? Is that the war is necessary to cover that and to?
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, the total goal is the extinction of the human race. At the end of the day, genocide is in place. It's right in our face, but people don't want to use the G word, and they don't want to use the EP word, extinction protocol. They don't want to use the A word, annihilation, and all those things are in play. And let's use the D word, disintegration. I mean, we're watching it happen before our very eyes. Interesting, the boaters, or the recreational people, I don't have a boat, but I know a lot of people in America have. Up in Bozeman, which we're one of the gateways to Yellowstone Park, you could not believe the amount of vehicles with trailers, RVs, million-dollar motorhomes, all basically in a state of confusion because of the floods in Yellowstone. They closed the West Yellowstone entrance. So many people are on the road, and you think of the gasoline that's short. And this is the other issue, Doug. I'm on record, you know it. 30 years ago, I told people what the word I had received. It's on my website. No trains will run, no planes will fly, and no trains, planes, or trucks will run. And God's going to bring the United States to a complete standstill. We've seen partial glimpses in the last 30 years. But now it's coming into focus. Where are you going to go for recreation with a boat when there's no water to put the boat in? And the saddest thing are seeing Lake Mead. And when it becomes the word Deadpool, I want people to understand what a Deadpool is. I mean, it was a great movie, and some people don't like it. It's a B movie. But the bottom line is, a Deadpool, when it's dealing with water, means there's not enough new water coming in, and the water becomes stagnant. The water, when it becomes stagnant, eutrophies, and another word is putrefies. Fish are dying, and everything that is set up around the ecosystem of the water, everything changes. So you've got the two biggest reservoirs in the United States, the two biggest, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, drying up at an accelerated rate. You've got a heat dome generated, by the way, in my opinion, by weather warfare. Gee, if something's heating the ionosphere, that's what it's called, ionospheric heaters, and geoengineering, as Dane Wigington is put out so much incredible, how do I say this, evidence, and you still get people saying, oh, it's just an anomaly. Yeah, the anomaly is, how long can you deny what you see before you die? And so, you know, the thing is that I guess, Doug, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of this broadcast, at the end of this night, what we have to pray is that people say, you know, I need to look at some of the stuff these guys are talking about. And what's interesting, and here's what I want people to understand, back to the Glyph Project. The Glyph Project was a three-year astonishing undertaking by some of the smartest men in the world to bring together every symbol, whether it's a Chinese alphabet, whether it's a Sanskrit, whether it's Sumerian, whether it's Ogham, stick writing, petroglyphs, pictures like this on rocks. Okay, this is one. Thank you, my brother, that sent this to me. But if you see it, you know, you can see the ant head and you see the alien head right there. I'll try and get a little closer. I'll scan it. I should have scanned it. But this is from, you know, Connecticut Falls. And what's interesting is that Vermont. And, you know, all this stuff is there. And this is 3,000 years old. 3,000. So what is, I believe this, God's saying, look at the root of evil. If I could say one thing, that if you took everything I've ever written, and this is about me because I'm the guy that, you know, is putting this stuff out, and all the videos and everything, it's trying to show you a narrative of history that tells you what's going to happen. Now, by reading the glyphs, the prophetic glyphs are literally mind-bending. And Doug, you know, I saturate this stuff. I'm in it all the time. And it's really important that people understand where we're at. And where we're at is history does repeat itself. Where we're at, to quote Sanchi, the high priest of Egypt, who spoke it to Solon, who spoke it to Plato, who Plato wrote about Atlantis in the 8th century BC. The bottom line is there have been many cataclysms and will be many more. Yet people just go on as if I just close my eyes and it'll all be better in the morning. And you say, why will it be better in the morning? What's changing? Well, I hope it'll be better in the morning. So if your hope isn't realized in the morning, then will it be better in the day after tomorrow? Or is it the day after tomorrow? And you see where I'm saying, ultimately, people have to go, it's not going to get better. If I could bring everybody to the logical conclusion, this is why signing up for this, and let's call it a webinar, that's what it really is so interesting. Because, and I don't know if, Eric, can you put up this thing I sent you about the Chinese, the Chinese pyramid? China's got the oldest pyramids in the history. So why all of a sudden are Chinese pyramids hitting the news around the world? They've been out there. I mean, there have been YouTubes. Why?
And I want to say this. This to me is a God thing, because I don't think you and I or anyone could plan the release of what you just called a webinar, and I like that characterization. The information contained in this webinar, and again, folks, go to HagmanReport.com, click on the banner, or SteveQuayle.com, click on the banner, and pre-register. It's going to be well worth your time. Everything's coming out on July 30th. But I don't think the timing of this, I mean, this has to be of God, because everything now is coming together. And when you, folks, I guarantee you, when you look at this, or when you hear the interviews and see what you're going to see from this, I really think a light will go on and say, oh yeah, okay, now I understand today's events better, as well as history much better. Steve, go ahead, sir.
Well, again, you know, there's nothing new under the sun except human stupidity and folly. But, and thank you, Eric, for leaving this up. Why China keeps its pyramids a secret? The cool story about this is, you know, military pilots flying over this area in 1944, 45. I think it was even the Flying Tigers at one point. But why China keeps its pyramids a secret? China has a whole different view of their origin, and most people don't know this, but they believe that they are the, if you will, the descendants of the dragon, the sky dragon. They have never opened their pyramids up to the public. There's a lot of science. They even planted trees. They put, if you will, terraced trees and plants to try and hide it up. But at the end of the day, it's still a pyramid. And then there was a YouTube. And by the way, the YouTube video right here, it was in 1945 U.S. This is what the original pictures were taken. And it used to be, Doug, it was said that this pyramid had white like alabaster, and the thing shined, and it had almost like a crystal, what's the word I want? A crystal capstone. And now right next to the oldest pyramids in the world, which, by the way, that one you just saw is bigger than the Pyramid of Giza, is a whole new pyramid being built. And that's on my website, and you know, you can go look at it. But it's astonishing that, again, people don't recognize that they're not there for good looks. Before there were any oceans, before the flood of Noah, even after Jeremiah's flood in Jeremiah chapter 4, it's talking about events that are taking place. It's talking about cataclysms that have taken place. But what people don't understand, the pyramids are an ancient energy grid source, and they are always, always connected to stargates, portals, and the gods. So back to what the Chinese, Doug, they believe, in essence, they are the true owners of the earth because they claim the oldest ancestry as coming from the stars. Does that make sense?
Makes sense even today among the, I won't go there politically, but it makes sense. Yes, 100% yeah. It does.
Children of the dragon. Children of the dragon. So why is the dragon mentioned in the book of Revelation? Why are serpents and scorpions mentioned in the book of Revelation? Why are all of the strange anomalies that happen? And Jesus is the one it makes me so crazy when, like, Ancient Aliens and all these different programs are always talking about, they'll quote the book of Revelation, put their spin on it. For instance, Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, a wheel within a wheel, it could be a gyroscope. I don't know I would say this, I don't know how the flaming chariot of Elijah looked, you know. I don't know what the radiator was like. I'm making fun of this. I don't know. But in essence, it accomplished what God wanted to do, to take Elijah bodily into heaven. He's one of the only two people in history that have never died. Guess who the other one was? Enoch. Enoch and Elijah, two witnesses in the Bible. People say, I don't believe that. They say, because on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Moses and Elijah. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, Moses died, and God had to command one of his archangels to bury the body of Moses, lest the people take the body of Moses and worship it. See, you know, it's in the heart of man to worship something. Bob Dylan song, you got to serve somebody. I wish he would have chosen to serve somebody other than he's serving now. And I've seen, you know, because Bob Dylan's considered one of the greatest American songwriters, but I've heard his own statements about selling out to the devil, and he wish he hadn't. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's important that all of this pyramid stuff, you've got to understand the announcement's going to be made. Kudos to Hawk. Hawk's been, you know, yelling for years about the power that's coming out of Antarctica. The greatest power generators in the world, and I'm talking not made by human hands, are in the Antarctic. And what is interesting now, and Russia's superior technology is kicking in. Doug, there's a story. This is all related to ancient technology. There's a story that Russia's electronic warfare weapons are taking out F-35s, and their missiles aren't hitting the mark. That goes right back to Henry Gruber's vision that when Russia attacks the United States, our communications fail and none of our weapons work. I don't know if people can see that. Eric, did I send you that one too? I don't know if I did or not. You know,
yeah, he's looking right now.
Okay. It would have been one of the last ones I sent. But anyway, getting back there, Doug, I mean, we're watching coming out of the Arctic, we're watching some of the biggest power pulses coming from Russia's. Yeah, we'll go there too. Just keep that on. I'm sorry, Doug, what I'm trying to do is get 8,000 years recorded history in 90 minutes. It's tough. But the power surges coming out of the North Pole area are because they have three nuclear reactors up there, and they're monster reactors, and I think there's 75 megawatt reactors. And that can control a lot of HARP-like, high-frequency active auroral research project antennas. They can bounce that energy off the ionosphere. They can direct that energy. And over the desert Southwest, look at what's happening to the food processing, the weather, the floods, everything. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a time when people say only God can do the weather. The Bible says that God takes the evil in their own devices. So let's go back to this, because I got to jump back into the you're going to have your minds blown, everyone, that sign up for the webinar on the 30th of July, because 5,000-year-old ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs discovered in Australia and turned world history upside down. And the Hagman listeners are watching the revelation of real Egyptians, even in the Americas. By the way, they landed in the Baja, and they were in the Grand Canyon. There used to be a river from what would be called the Gulf of California all the way up the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon's water was much higher. But all these stories talk about, if anybody's ever been to Hawaii and you've gone to the island of Maui, Maui was one of the most famous Egyptian navigators that's recorded in history. He even left his signature. You know, you always saw Kilroy was here. No, Maui was everywhere. So what's interesting is that as you're seeing this is coming out. This is a 2-year-old thing, but as you're coming out, by the way, if you look to the left, the rudder guy, he's a giant. And if you continue to scroll down, Eric, all of these hieroglyphs and some of them that are a combination of Phoenician and stuff, all of these can be translated. And that's why our glyph project, this would be a good example of a glyph. And this is why, ladies and gentlemen, you're getting information. The Egyptian, the alien symbols can be translated. That's what the glyph team is doing. And it's bigger than a glyphtionary now. It's called the Glyph Project. It's just way too. And look at this, ancient aliens, ancient Egyptians in Australia. That's absolutely true. And it's not only true of in Australia, it's true in the Americas. It's true in the Antarctic, pre-ice period.
Do the countries like Australia and other countries, do they have something similar to their own Smithsonian where they take the stuff and never to be
Great
seen again?
Question. U.S. primarily controls all those countries by the money we pay them to keep their mouths shut, okay? U.S. foreign policy has a lot to do with this stuff, Doug. So, yes, they're paid to keep their mouth shut. Now, Mike Adams asked me the other day, well, what about Ecuador? They openly opened the stuff up. I said, remember the history of Ecuador? I forget the name of the president, but he basically told the U.S. to go cut fish. You remember that guy?
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe Morales? Evan Morales? I could be wrong, you guys. This is just coming out of my head, but the point is that there are nations now that are saying, we're not going to keep it quiet. We're not going to be paid off. If Mexico were to announce to the world what we've announced to the world that we're finding in Mexico, they would have the biggest tourist trade in the history of the world. They will have presented to the world the most telling and compelling evidence that's basically, pun intended, there for the findings. And I'm hoping and praying they do that. I know somebody's going to do it. I don't know that's Mexico. I wish it were Mexico, because in essence, Doug, the greatest cover-up, there's nothing. And here's what people need to understand. Jesus made the statement, there's nothing that's been hidden that isn't going to be made known. But the Christians are going to have a time period like this to take the truth and to go with it, because when that door closes, as Jesus said, the night comes when no man can work. I'm not just talking about the, I'm going to be clear. I'm not just talking about ancient history. I'm talking about the truth of the word of God to stand up and use the power that was present in the first century church to go out and make a change for the world. And I want people to understand this. Those of you who have supported Doug Hagman, the Hagman platform, the platforms I've been on, the DVDs, the books and all that stuff, do you guys realize that your and this is not flattery, but your co-explorers with us, and that you get to be involved in something so much bigger than yourself? And I can tell you this, the living God is not threatened by the truth. The devil's people are terrified by the truth.
Great
and
statement.
Ancient history is a battle between good and evil, just as in our day.
Man, that is a phenomenal statement, because that even goes to the people of the satanic. And again, you know, I'm very careful when I use that word, because it's often tossed around. And so you're absolutely right. You're correct when you say that. So thank you for really driving that point home. Where does fear lie? It doesn't lie with the righteous Christians. It lies with the evil ones, plural. So go ahead, sir.
Right. And Doug, we need to put an end to this thing. There's good Christians and bad Christians. There's only one form of Christians, and that's redeemed ones. There is no such word as a good Christian, because even Jesus, and this is something people have got to understand, the use of the word good only applies to God. It really, truly does. Jesus, when they called him good teacher, good master, he said, "Why call ye me good? For there's none good save your Father, which is in heaven, God the Father." Yet people think that goodness, oh, I did something good today, or that they're going to establish their own righteousness. It's the blood. Now, here's the key. When the blood of Jesus covered the sin of mankind, that blood is what God sees. It's the righteous life of his Son that he, Jesus, gave to cover our sins. We don't have to try and cover it with, oh, well, gee, I go and do this for this person. I go and do that for that person. I'm a good person. No, you're not. You're a sinner. A sinner means you're at war with God. It doesn't mean just because you don't do this and you don't do that, you do this, you do that. That's not what grace is all about. Grace is God covers you. He chooses to forgive us. The whole world's at war. And if you don't believe that's true, then who is behind the push to slaughter Christians? And let's just go to China, for instance. The reason Christian Chinese are being destroyed, murdered, butchered, everything there. And not just Christians, but Falun Gong, all these people. Those are mouths that are necessary to feed. You kill off, and when you got pretty close to 1.4 billion people, that's a lot of mouths to feed. Mao Zedong, or Mao Zedong, came to power on the promise of a bowl of rice for everyone. And it'll become the point, Doug, when I doubt there'll be a bowl of rice for every American, let alone anything else, because America's being brought to its knees. And it has no more ability. What's on the shelves is diminishing fast. What was in the pipeline no longer exists. Food and fuel rationing, they are in effect. Somebody was a smart guy and said, "Well, where's my gas ration card, my food?" I said, "Well, I'll answer him publicly and answer everybody. There are people in the world that have been placed by God for specific purposes to interrupt the plans of the devil." People won't believe that, Doug, but they will believe when I've run out of gas. And people say, "Well, how do I get to work?" You won't have to worry about it, because you won't have a job. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you say, well, I would say dry, because with few exceptions, the water in this country is disappearing. I'm not just talking about the desert Southwest. I'm talking about at times the Mississippi River. And by the way, flooding is what can be generated, articulated, designated, and targeted any area. because the water in the upper atmosphere, the rivers of water in the upper atmosphere, you can push them down, you can lift them up, and you can keep them in a given location with what's called a standing wave. A standing wave, just imagine, is an electromagnetic gate that keeps the water from going east or west, north or south, depending on the standing wave and the antenna array and all blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is we are undergoing intense weather warfare against the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself this. Who's here to defend us if all our military is going to China, all our military is going to Western Europe or the Eastern European war? Doug, what's here to defend us? 40,000 National Guardsmen, I think, are going to be out of the Guard next week unless there's a mandate against it because they refuse the vaccine. When a Top Gun's pilot, I mean a real Top Gun pilot, I love this guy. I don't remember his name, but he stood up. And he has been grounded from flying. They've done everything against him. But you know what his statement was? What a beautiful, beautiful testimony. He made the statement, God told me to stand up. My goodness, what God's goodness, what an amazing statement, what an amazing aviator. But when you're destroying your military from within, why would you do that except you've made a deal with the enemies from without to come in and take everything that's within? And then that Schlaus the Schwab slob says, time is going to come when you own nothing and be really happy. Yeah, well, you don't have to worry about being happy when you're dead. Rape, pillage, and plunder, the thing that has absolutely made me crazy is people look for a political solution. This guy will save us. He didn't do it when he could have. He can't do it on a promise next time. There is going to be, and this is astonishing to me, the insanity. Well, things are going to really change. We take over the elections. They're going to be worse because there's no human fix for the mess we're in as a United States, as the disunited States. And I love my country. So all of the people out there, I love the country that we had. I love the freedom when it existed. I love the liberty, and I love when there was justice, when justice didn't mean some cop opens up and shoots some poor black guy in the back 14 times or puts his, look, it's not a question, and I want to make this clear to all blacks listening to this, all Latinos listening to this, all whites listening to this. Those entities that we're talking about, the globalists, are delighting to turn everybody against everybody. They would be not able to do that if everybody said, you know what? It's that guy who's my enemy. But I tell people this.
Well, let me ask you a question. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
in a sense, okay, because from what I've seen the last several days, is that a bad thing? Okay, when you've got somebody that is absolutely dogmatic, that refuses to negotiate, that says, you know what, if you don't get the jab, for example, then I will not serve you. You can't do this, or you can't do X, Y, or Z. You know, so position in power, or those people who follow the people in power. Is it? And again, I ask this really with a pure heart. What do you do with those people? If you can't talk, if you can't negotiate, if you can't coexist with them, what's left?
Well, it's either self-imposed exile or, in essence, they want, and they will get it. They're pushing for armed conflict. Whether it's the newest, let's buy up all the ammo, whether it's the newest large capacity magazine. And I want everybody to understand this. The people who are targeted, pun intended, good choice of word, for red flag laws are first and foremost vets. Always first and foremost veterans. And Doug, we've watched right now the freedom, the word freedom. And tell me where the word freedom in your mind exists right now. I would like to know that because I can't answer that question for you.
You know what? With each passing day, it doesn't. It doesn't.
And so, if it doesn't, what are the ramifications of it doesn't?
Then,
when you start getting gas and people can't have gas, when they have can't have water, when they don't have food, ladies and gentlemen, this is all designed by the globalists to basically generate a civil war, a war against Christians. And if people want to live in La La Land, trust me, the baby rattle will turn into a baseball bat against our heads. What happens is lawlessness. When a nation loses its rule of law, and we don't have one anymore, in my opinion, then, and look at the world headlines, the U.S. headline, then what happens? People become laws unto themselves. And that's the very misdefinition of mystery of iniquity is lawlessness. And there's no enforcement. We got, 400 plus people still in prison after January 6th?
Yep.
We have sworn testimony that there's 80 federal provocateurs that was there, that was there at the Capitol. We have all the hanky-panky. And then who gets murdered next? You know, Doug, I mean, you could have known the man that was going to testify that there was no organized rebellion or insurrection. He died. Was he the sergeant of arms?
So yeah, 71 years old. Mysterious death, and all of a sudden the family saying, well, we're not going to issue any statements. Probably a good idea for the family. I'm sure they got a visit. Believe me, what I've seen, they got a visit. Go ahead.
Well, again, here's the thing. Someone comes to you and says, you see what we did to your husband? Yes. You want that to happen to you? How about your granddaughter? And they rattle off the names and addresses and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how the real world works now. It's we kill who we want, and then the families better not complain about it or they get gone too. Or they come with a check for $1 million. I was told, I can't prove this, a certain individual who killed a certain woman in Washington, D.C. had a huge payday. I was also told that that payday was laundered through 5 different accounts around the world, so it could be tracked back to who paid them.
Easily done, so, by the way. Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, it's easily done. So, Doug, knowing that as an investigator, did you notice how immediately when they outed the man's identity, that it was in a sympathy? Oh, yeah. Listen, he was ordered to do that.
Yes, yes. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, you will or you should. If not, just do the research. Go ahead, sir. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Go ahead.
3.5. Okay, here's the thing. If you understand the past, you'll understand the future, quoting Orwell's statement. If you understand the ancient languages and the context that they were in, it's not that we're clairvoyant, meaning those of us in the Glyph Project. What that means is we're seeing what they're writing to each other. The fallen angels aren't locked up in Tartarus. The fallen angels are loose. They're earthly minions. They communicate with them electronically through codes, through symbols. And all of that, Doug, is talking about global famine, about the date for famine to be initiated in the United States. And that's already happening. By the end of this month, the food available, do you see all of the plants burning down? Whether they're killing chickens, killing hogs, killing this, killing that. Pizza companies, 120 now different. Who gave the order for that? The same people that are wanting to starve us into submission. But I wanted to say this. At the end of the day, 250 million Americans, according to the Deagle Report, are going to die. And the people that funded the Deagle Report are going to make sure it happens.
And there it is.
And the only safety we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen and amen and amen. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. I'm going to tell you something. This is my favorite episode of the week. I love this because Steve shares his heart. And folks, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the Q-Files. He does this on his own. And I'm going to tell you what, it's well worth the price of admission. That, and also make sure you pre-register right now. Right now. Do it right now to the Egyptian Alien Connection in America. Of course, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out so much and things are going to click and you are going to be astounded by the investigative product of Steve Quayle and Gen 6. Productions. Steve, I want to say thank you so very much. It was a great day, and I always love it when you come on, brother. And if I don't talk to you before, but I know I will, enjoy the 4th, which Independence Day, right?
Thank you, Doug. God bless each and every one of you. And again, take this to heart and take it to prayer and just ask God if he's real to reveal himself to you if you don't know him yet.
Amen to that. And that is it. All right. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, gen6.com. And also, again, go to the HagmanReport.com and stevequayle.com. Register, pre-register right now. God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night until tomorrow.